June is traditionally known as the month of the Sacred Heart, but I think that June needs to be the month of the Eucharist. I've always been inspired by all the Eucharistic processions that take place around the Feast of Corpus Christi, and am super excited that right now, in the United States, there are 4 processions taking place all throughout the country, lasting almost 2 months. Can you imagine what happens when Jesus, in the Blessed Sacrament, is taken out in procession throughout a city? Blessed Carlo Acutis would say that when we sit out in the sun, we get a tan. When we sit close to the Blessed Sacrament, it makes us holy. And that's what happens to a whole neighborhood, or even a whole town or city, when there is a Eucharistic procession. It is transformed. In Fortaleza, Brazil, there used to be a yearly secular music festival that brought a lot of sinfulness into the city. The Shalom community opened a pizza shop that had a chapel in the back where there was 24-hour Eucharistic adoration. This place began attracting more and more of a different kind of person, and eventually, the music festival moved to another city. That's the kind of transformation we can see when we expose Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. I hope that this can become a tradition every year in June. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this is the Salt and Light Hour. Hello and welcome to another all-new Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro, and sitting here with me is Sister Marie Paul Curley. Sister, it's good to see you.
It's good to be seen or heard, I guess. We get to see each other on Zoom, so that's nice.
We do. It is, and I think it's okay to say we were actually together.
Yes.
A few days ago, which was wonderful to be with you, Sister, and to meet some of your sisters, the Daughters of St. Paul at the convent. This is the convent. This is the mother house where it all happens, the Daughters of St. Paul.
For the U.S. and Canada, our mother house in Rome would be a great place to visit if you ever get there.
Okay. Yeah. Boston is closer than Rome. I was trying to make it, make our listeners feel like this is accessible. If you're ever in Rome, in Boston, you can go for a visit.
Yes, we would love to see you.
And then, yes, of course, if we're ever in Rome, I'll have to go. And now I have to go to Rome. Oh, sister. Anyway, it was very good to be together with you and to see where it all happens.
It was great to have you. It's a fascinating place with all these amazing nuns. Blessed every day.
Yes, yes. Now, sister, I'm very happy that you're with me today for the beginning of the program, because you and I have been working on this show for a long time.
Yes.
This is 14 years, I think, that the show has been produced, and you were starting right from almost the beginning, if I remember correctly. I don't know when you started, but probably you've been at this for about 12 years, I think.
I think so.
10 or so. So, and the reason why is because over the years the show has evolved and, changed organically. We've had segments come and go. We used to do the news. We don't do news anymore, for example. But there are some things that have been fairly consistent. And we're now thinking, after working on this program for almost 15 years, that it's time to maybe consider changing the format of the show. Ooh. But we don't want to do that without getting some feedback from our listeners, because there might be people that have been listening to the show for 15 years and they just love exactly what we do. We're asking for feedback. I don't know, basic stuff. Are there too many segments? Do you like the segment? Do you like Windows to the Soul with Sister Marie Paul Curley? Do you like Church for Dummies? Would you like more of those segments? Would you like less of those segments? Are the interviews too long or too short? Are the segments too short? Would you like more music or would you like less music? I think I would like more music, so I don't know if I'm going to change that. So we're asking our listeners to please just contact me directly. Just send me an email. I love emails. Pedro@slmedia.org. And tell us what you like about the show. Tell us what you don't like about the show. And tell us if, how would you feel if we changed? Because we would hate to change the format of the program and take something away that really people enjoy, like Windows to the Soul. Not that I'm considering taking away Windows to the Soul, but this is your chance, sister, right now to jump in and give me some feedback.
Oh, I love
You're
what
hesitating.
You do.
You're hesitating.
No. I love what you do with this show. I think it's great. I actually would love to hear. I hope that somebody writes in or contacts you about Windows to the Soul and what would be most helpful for them, for their family, or for their viewing. Or should I go deeper into like the spiritual message of the films? Should I be doing more of a survey of good things to watch? Like, I just would be interested in. So I'm excited. And also, yes, of course, if there are is other content that's more important, Windows to the Soul could.
No, Windows to the Soul is important, but
away.
yes. But let us know. Would you like Sister Marie Paul to do new films only, or to do old films, or to do only children's film? I mean, you always try to find films that are sort of, good for the whole family. But we do always try to find the windows to the soul of the film. Anyway, so all of that, just send me an email, pedro@eslmedia.org, and let us know what you think of the show. So that's that. And I'm going to keep saying that every show for the next month. Sister, today we're going to be joined by Danny. Danny Torquia is going to be with us today. He has a segment called Rearing Rebels that's all about bringing up children as not to be rebels necessarily, but to kind of sort of countercultural, because sometimes the messages that we get from the culture are not the most positive positive messages. So I'm not sure what Danny's going to talk to us about today, but he has some more tips on how to rear rebels. So that's going to be in about 5 minutes after our first song. And then, sister, you are back with Windows to the Soul.
Yes, with a really, really powerful film. It's a World War II movie, and I would love to talk about it. So it was a surprise for me. I'd heard about it, and I was pleasantly surprised at how powerful it is.
Good. I like World War II movies. So that's in about 15 minutes with Sister Marie Paul Curley, Windows to the Soul. And then in our second half hour, sister, we're going to be speaking with two students, grade 12 students who recently came back from a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. But what's unique, because I know a lot of schools do this, but what's unique is that this program from St. Mary's Catholic Secondary School in Hamilton, Ontario, has been taking place for 25 years. The school has been sending students to the Dominican Republic every year for 25 years. They call their program Dreams. And if people want to find out why they call it Dreams, they need to stick around and listen to the conversation. So we're going to be speaking to the two students and also with one of the original chaplains who's been leading the trip over all these years. So that's in about 25 minutes. And then at the end of the show, we're going to be reconnecting with one of our favorite Catholic singer-songwriters, someone who probably doesn't need any introduction. Her name is Sarah Kroger. Our listeners should all be familiar with Sarah Kroger and her music. She's been on the show, like 7 or 8 times. She's been, yes, sister's nodding. Yes. Sarah has been at least not quite once a year, but over the last 10 years, she's been on many, many times. Recently, she was on our program. We featured her for Christmas because she had her first Christmas album last Christmas, December 2023. And now she has a new album. It's titled A New Reality. And so we're going to be speaking with Sarah Kroger about that in about 40 minutes at the end of the program. So if people are not going to be around, because most of our listeners actually do listen to this program in their cars, they're listening to the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM. So you might not be able to be driving for a whole hour. When you get home, you can go to our website, eslmedia.org, and find the Salt and Light Hour, and that you can listen to the whole show, or you can, as Sister Marie Paul does, you can subscribe to the Salt and Light Hours podcast on Apple. That's what you do, right? You do Apple Podcasts?
I do. Yes.
There's Apple Podcasts, there's Spotify. And if you're in Canada, you can still access the show through Google Podcasts. I know that that is changing in the United States and it's going to change in Canada, but we're not quite there yet. So you can podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, eslmedia.org. So let's start with a song. Here's Sarah Kroger with Glory Be from her new album, A New Reality.
Glory be. To the Son, glory be to the Spirit God.
We're listening to Sarah Kroger with Glory Be from her new album, A New Reality. And we're going to be speaking with Sarah Kroger at the end of the program, so I hope that you'll still be around for that. And now it's time for... Rearing Rebels with Danny Torquia, who's joining us by himself today. We're missing Antonia.
Solo today. My wife, unfortunately, could not make it, but I'm here representing her opinion and voice. And
very good. Very good. And you want to talk to us about something important, about Rearing Rebels.
Yeah, Rearing Rebels, you know, could we... Late in life, have I come to know the beauty of adoration and the Blessed Sacrament. So I thought we could talk about that.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yes. I just finished doing a commentary on how I think June should be the month of adoration of the Eucharist. So I'd like to know more, because I remember you telling us about how you've been going with your children, correct? Am I remembering this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we're now living next to my in-laws, and my father-in-law at 82, 83 years old, believe it or not, he just joined the Knights of Columbus in his parish at 83. And God bless him. Yeah, he's healthy. God bless him. So he puts on his shirt. He goes volunteering. And I'm so happy that we arrived, you know, to live next to them at a time when he's active in the Knights. And what are the Knights doing in his local council? Well, they're doing a holy hour program with other councils, other parishes.
So good.
And it's all for the youth. So it's like I walked into a beautiful portal into an amazing experience. So every month with them, we go to at holy hour, and it's focused on youth. And so our kids have absolutely loved it. And you know, yes, if they're not perfect, nobody's perfect, and we all don't like necessarily getting up and leaving the couch or leaving the dinner table and then going and putting grudging, you know, going through the weather and the elements and driving. But once we do, once we get over the huffing and the puffing that might arise, doesn't always arise, but it might, and we get there, the kids want to go back the next month, and they get the purpose of adoration. And my wife and I were lamenting this, Deacon Pedro, that when we grew up, mainly in the early 80s, we didn't have access to this.
No.
And yet, though, still many of our contemporaries today don't have access to this.
Yes. So
we got to ask ourselves some questions, like, how can we change this?
Yeah,
because
okay.
It works.
Yeah, I can see your marketing wheels turning inside your head.
Well, and marketing is an important thing, because at the end of the day, marketing is the four P's. Or five P's, which is, you know, okay, what is the product that you have, to talk in very, you know, colloquial today's marketing terms. What is the product that you have? What is the place where you can find that that product? What is the price or the cost, which for us is time and getting dressed and going and spending an hour with our Lord, Eucharistic Lord. And then promotion is one of the things. So we should be... I'm driven to sharing what is adoration, because A, it is a relationship with the Lord, and B, the kids speak very highly of it. So why not? What we have to.
Yeah. Okay. I think I want to hear more about what kinds of things we need to be doing or could be doing, other than just telling people that. I guess that's a place to start, witness or inviting people. And I love the idea that if you have a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old that are saying, hey, come over to our place. We're going to have pizza, and then we're going to go and spend an hour at the church. Like, I'm sure that they can bring some friends with them.
Yeah. And I think it's always good to level set or be level, meaning be forthright with the people we're talking to, that what they can expect. What I mean is, they're gonna receive and expect silence, right? And, but my kids have told me that they like the fact that it's quiet. And then there's moments of music, certainly in holy hour with the one we go to, there's elements of music, but there's also very much elements of silence. So the kids appreciate that. So I think if peer to peer my child tells their friends, hey, you might want to try it out. Like, I really enjoy the silence. I really enjoy the meditation, the music. It helps me to adjust to what's happened in my life because kids are not foolish. They know that life is turned upside down with discord and division and addictions and rage. You could throw in these terrible attributes to life. Everybody can relate to that. So it's okay to say, hey, you want a moment of complete silence, a moment of complete community, but in silence, no one's telling you what to do. Liberty, freedom. And then my daughter, who's 10, she said that she really feels Jesus there. And my other son, who's 14, said, I feel the Holy Spirit when I go. And I'm like, okay, well, you got to tell your friends that. Like,
Yeah, that's wonderful. And then this idea, like maybe I can hear parents maybe thinking, oh, my kids, they can't be silent or they're uncomfortable with silence. They want the silence. Just give them the opportunity. Maybe they've never experienced it, but once they experience it, they're gonna want more of it. But I think, and I said this earlier in the program, we Carlo Acutis would say that if you sit out in the sun, you get a suntan. If you sit close to the fire, you feel the warmth. If you sit close to the Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, you will feel the warmth, the presence, and it will make us holy.
There you go. That's the goal.
That's the goal. That's the goal. Simple message today, Danny. I
Simple.
love it.
And you know what? You don't. What happened? What's cool is that we brought it home to have silence. Now we don't have the Blessed Sacrament, but we have an icon and we have a prayer nook, and you can achieve very much something super similar at home,
What a
everyday
great
accessible.
idea. What a great idea with an icon. Beautiful,
Yes,
beautiful.
think
Lots
of
of great
bedrooms,
suggestions.
short and
Okay,
sweet.
good. There we go. We're starting to push the idea, the marketing the idea that June is a time for the Eucharist, the Eucharistic month, as people practice silence and the Eucharistic adoration.
It would be a month for promotion of, but then
Okay, good.
clear active
All
participation
right.
in.
We'll hire Danny Torkia from Torkia Communications to help us with the marketing of that promotion
Well,
of the
we can
Eucharist.
wordsmith it together.
All right. Sounds good,
You
Danny. Thank you. It's good to see you today. Thank you for this important message. And hello to Antonia. Make sure she knows that we miss her today.
Hopefully, we'll see her next time or hear her.
Hopefully. Amen. Danny Torkia, the managing director of Torkia Communications. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Torkia. And you can learn more at dialogueandgrace.com.
Hey everybody, it's Marie Miller, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro.
Salt and Light TV is available on Roku and Amazon Fire. Go to slmedia.org/plus to find out how to subscribe. And now it's time for Windows to the Soul with Sister Marie Paul Curley. Sister Marie Paul, welcome back.
It's great to be here as always.
As
And
always.
I have a question. So
Okay.
I hinted to everyone that we're doing a World War II movie. Do you have a favorite World War II movie, Deacon Pedro?
Oh, The Great Escape. No, but
Ah,
it's
that's a
funny.
great choice.
Yes, no, and yeah, it's a classic, and I know people that hate it, but I don't know why I like that movie. I think it reminds me of Hogan's Heroes, but see, I think of World War II kind of in two categories. You have the World War II, the war movies, but then you also have the World War II, the Holocaust movies. And I tend to lean more towards some of the Holocaust stories. I don't know. I'm not sure why. And recently I watched One Life with Anthony Hopkins that maybe some of our listeners have heard of. Very powerful story about a man in England who does all he can to try to rescue as many Jewish children out of Prague, I believe, Czechoslovakia, just before the war kind of blew up as the Nazis invaded Czechoslovakia. So that's probably the most recent one I've seen. But stories like that tend to be very, very moving, but they seem to touch my heart in a way that some other stories don't.
I think there have been some amazing movies about people resisting or trying to rescue people from the Holocaust. And I need to see One Life. I have not seen that yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. So thank you for that.
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins. I am going to talk about another Holocaust film. It's called Irene's Vow,
Okay.
And it is about the true story of Irena Gut, who was a 17-year-old Polish nurse in training, who over the next couple of years successfully rescued 18 Jews from the Gestapo during the invasion and occupation of Poland during World War II.
Wow.
Now, how she did it is absolutely amazing. And I actually did a little research. I went on, there's actually a, like a 4-hour interview with her about her experience. And I went and watched a piece of it and read some of the transcript of the interview. And a lot, from what I can see, the movie is very faithful. I'm sure it dramatizes the dialogue and all, but it's very faithful to what actually happened. I don't recommend watching the trailer because it kind of gives some of it away. So I'm not going to do that on this right here. But I will say this: she is forced to work for the Nazis. It's a forced labor situation. So she has a lot of contact with them, especially with a major who forces her to become his maid and then his housekeeper.
Okay.
So Irena's Vow is artistically very well done. The main actress is someone I've never heard of before. I'm not sure if she's Polish or what nationality she is. Her name is Sophie Nelis. I'm not probably not even saying that correctly. And she carries the whole film.
Okay.
Although the rest of the cast is excellent, and the German officer is played by Doug Ray Scott, who I probably a lot of our listeners would be familiar with. We're holding our breaths with this Irena. We're witnessing how she faces the trauma of war at 17 years old and separated from her family, and how she faces the trauma of the atrocities that the Nazis are doing on the Jewish, especially the Jewish population. We know there were others who suffered greatly under the Nazis, but
Yes.
especially the Jews. The whole story, the whole movie is told from Irena's perspective. She's in just about almost every scene, and I think it makes the story very, very compelling, and it feels like an eyewitness account.
Really?
I'm not sure who made that choice, whether it was the writer or the director. The writer is Dan Gordon, who's written a lot of biopics or based on a true story kind of movies. He's also done stage plays and television shows, but his strength really seems to be true stories. And the director is a woman, Louise Archambault, who's Canadian. I was
Okay.
delighted to find that out. I did not,
Yes.
I'm not familiar with her movies.
Cool.
Even if she didn't come up with this idea of telling the story from Irena's point of view, if the script really does that, she very effectively does that. And I suspect it was partly her idea because she tends to make movies about strong women who are in vulnerable positions, who really face what we would normally consider impossible obstacles,
Wow.
and who persevere through them. So she's a director I definitely want to become more familiar with. So a little bit about just a little bit more about the film. It doesn't make a big deal about Irena being Catholic, but it's not hidden. So for example, Irena is at mass when the whole congregation is, in essence, abducted by the Nazis and put into forced labor. So that's how she loses contact with her family. She's just taken away. I also like the fact that although we see a lot of the Nazis, we spend also a good amount of time with the Jews that Irena wants so desperately to save. So we
Okay.
get to know a number of those characters as well. Is this a Windows to the Soul movie? I mean, it's not just a typical Holocaust movie. This movie does more. And it's kind of highlighted in one scene that really could stand alone about having faith in the face of a pregnancy that, if the baby is born, will endanger all of the Jews in hiding. You could say this scene is about the sacredness of human life. You can say it's about faith. You could
Wow.
say it's about the leadership of a young woman. You could say it's about standing against oppression. It's about all of that. And that scene alone makes this a Windows to the Soul kind of film.
Wow.
In this film, you really do see glimpses of the best of humanity and the worst of humanity. So this is not a film for the faint of heart. It is not a family film in that it's rated R and some of the violence and atrocities. It's not gratuitously violent at all. It's one of they very carefully show just enough so that you understand Irena's horror and trauma and courage, in the face of all of that. But it is very, I mean, for a child, it would be extremely disturbing. So depending on where your teen is, I do see this could be watched by some teenagers, maybe depending on their level, what they're used to watching in the media. If you're interested in hearing more about the story, her story, do check it out online. She passed away in 2003, but her interview makes her seem like just a normal, ordinary person.
Yeah.
And she never would have told her story if she hadn't heard a neo-Nazi deny the Holocaust. And she suddenly realized, I need to talk about my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the scripture that this movie brings to mind is the obvious one, of course. No one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Irina is so willing to do that, and she takes that risk over and over again. So it's a real, you're holding your breath, you're on the edge of your seat sometimes. It's beautiful storytelling. So it's a powerful film and has a lot to it. So Irina's
okay.
Vow.
Yeah. Irina, I-R-E-N-A, Irina?
Yes.
Irina.
Yes.
Irina's Vow. Okay. That sounds like exactly the kind of movie that I was describing earlier in terms of, you know, a World War II movie. Thank you. Irina's Vow. Maybe not for the whole family, but certainly for the more mature in the family.
Yes, definitely.
And it sounds like it's also a good film to have a conversation afterwards. You know,
absolutely.
Maybe
yeah,
even in a classroom setting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Very powerful. So I'm hoping I can get a movie guide written and up about
okay,
it.
Okay, that would be good. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Irina's. Oh, I guess people can find it streaming wherever.
Yes, it's available all over the place.
It's
now.
Available all over the place. So streaming, Irina's Vow. Okay, good. Thank you, sister. Thank you for that. I'm definitely going to look for it. Sister Marie Paul Curley is with the Congregation of the Daughters of St. Paul. You can read her blog at windowstothesoul.wordpress.com, and you can also follow her at Sister M. Paul. Coming up in our second half hour, Dominican Republic education and medical support, and Sarah Kroger has a new album, A New Reality, so stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. This year marks 25 years since the students at St. Mary's Catholic Secondary School in Hamilton, Ontario, went on the very first mission trip to the Dominican Republic. The experience, called Dreams, has students spending a week in a remote village helping out in various projects like building homes. The students live, work, pray, and play together with each other, with other volunteers, and local people from the community that they are assisting. Over the last 25 years, over 60 families have been impacted by the work of Dreams. This year, they helped build a home for a family. And to tell us more, I am now joined by Mr. Don Hall, chaplaincy leader at the school, as well as two grade 12 students who recently came back from the experience, Martina Chalk and Maddie Lung. Welcome. Welcome, you guys. It's good to meet you. Welcome to the Salt and Light Hour.
Thank you so much. Good to be on with you, Deacon Pedro.
Yes. So, Don, tell us a little bit about the background. How it's been 25 years that you've been doing this trip. I think it was your idea. Tell us about how that happened and why you wanted to do a mission trip with your students to the Dominican Republic.
Well, Deacon Pedro, I cannot take any credit for the program because it started 5 years before I ever came to St. Mary's.
Okay.
So 25 years ago, the students in a religion class said to their teacher, "We're tired about studying about poverty. We want to get out there and do something." Reminds me a lot of Pope Francis. He talked about getting your hands dirty, and this is what the students wanted to do. So the teacher, Mr. Morrison, and the chaplain, Philomena Tassi, listened to the students, and they received a magazine from Scarborough Missions where it talked about Father Lou Quinn, who was down in San Jose de Wacoa. Mm-hmm. Now, Father Lou is from Toronto, and he was making a huge difference in the community of San Jose de Wacoa. And so the stars lined up perfectly, and before you knew it, we started sending a group of students down 25 years ago. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. So a question for the students. Maddie, let's start with you. I presume that right from the moment that you're in grade nine, you know that this is a thing, that every year the school sends students to the Dominican Republic, right?
Yeah, so I actually found out about the Dreams program in the second grade at my elementary school.
Oh, wow.
Every year after the Dreams program happens, students go back to all of the feeder schools of St. Mary, and they introduce the Dreams program. So me and Martina actually went to the same elementary school, and we were sitting beside each other when it first got introduced. It sounded really interesting, and we continued to have the presentations every year. In grade 9 and 10, it was online school, so we didn't really find out about it. But the Dreams program started back up in our grade 11 year, so 2023, and we found out about it. We wanted to go on the trip in grade 12. And then in 2024, when applications opened, me and Martina applied right away.
That's so cool that you since grade two, you've already were planning on going. You had lots of time to raise funds to go. Martina, everybody's been talking about Dreams, and I neglected to ask probably the most important question. What does Dreams stand for?
Yeah, so Dreams stands for Dominican Republic Education and Medical Services.
So you said it's education and medical support, but that's not the work you guys were doing. You were building a house. What work were you, what else were you doing?
That was the most part for the community, but we also did a lot with them. Like, we would meet up with them. We did on our last night, we had like a little celebration that was kind of, it was close to the community center. They had like dancing and a little store there, and so there was loud music, and we really got to like meet and talk with a lot of them. Well, talk as best as we could.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. So
yeah. Maddie, tell us a little bit about the work that you did then. So you didn't build a whole house, but you started building a house.
Yeah, so we were in the mountains of Los Corozos in the Dominican Republic. So the land there was very clay and very hard and dense. So to build like any house, you have to dig a foundation. So we had to dig a foundation, but we didn't have like tools, like the big machinery that we have here in Canada. We only had pickaxes and shovels. So we just started picking at the ground to dig. I think we ended up digging about 3 feet deep for the foundation. And then that's when we could start mixing mortar, pouring a foundation, like using cement, cinder blocks, I think they're called, and mortar, and just building up the walls. And I think we dug for like 2.5-3 days just to dig the foundation because of how hard and dense the land was.
Martina, I presume none of the students have construction experience. So how did you guys start even knowing how to build a house?
So we had two foremen there, and they kind of like laid it out and kind of told us what to do.
Okay.
Because otherwise we would have really no idea. And then I wanted to add on to Maddie's point really quick that we only had 4 shovels and 3 pickaxes for all of us to dig this foundation. And then maybe like 6 or 7 buckets, and we would have to like manually grab the gravel and dump it on the ground, and then take water and mix it on the ground right there so that we could pour it into the hole where the foundation was. So that's why it kind of took a long time. But luckily we had our foreman there to kind of tell us what to do and how to do it most efficiently.
And you're building a home for a family. Did you get to meet the family?
Yeah, they helped us out a lot. The kids were always running around, and Maddie got really close to the little one-year-old. So the grandfather, his name was Raphael, and he was always helping out. He was helping us out with anything he could. And then his daughter and her husband, and then their 2 kids.
Right. Now, Dawn,
living in the house.
Dawn, this is a partnership with a local organization, correct? Adesso?
It is. Yeah, we work with Adesso, and they are based in San Jose de Ocoa, and they've been around for well over 60 years. So they've been, doing tremendous work, not just in Ocoa, but in the surrounding countryside throughout all the mountains there.
Yeah. Maddie, you mentioned that you heard about this and when you were 7 years old. It sounds like it's a fun trip, a great experience, but really, why did you want to participate in this program?
I think just my, like I said, my friends last year, they went and just them, they came back with such a different view on life and just they were just so like they just couldn't say enough good things about the trip that I wanted to experience it for myself. And I think just like being able to help others and just like being able to physically see the impact you can make in somebody's life just being gone for a week, I think that was something I really wanted to experience.
Yeah. And Martina, having gone and come back, was it what you expected? Did it, what impact did it have on you?
I wasn't really sure going into it how much it would change me, and I didn't feel it while I was there. It wasn't till I came back that I felt a big difference. And it's almost hard to like explain in words, but like you miss being there so much. Like you come back and you're just kind of like, I could be doing so much. And I was like, I'm really happy that I did do a lot for someone else.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful experience. But I'm sure it's not an inexpensive experience. Not only do you have to raise the funds so the students go, but you have to raise the funds to build the home. How much does this cost, Don?
Well, to build a house today in the Dominican Republic with Adesso, it's $20,000 US. And the home we built was above and beyond that because we added a bathroom as we were building it. So it was a $22,000 commitment on our part. For the students itself, it's not a cheap trip, as you know. At the same time, the Toronto Globe and Mail did a survey of all schools that were traveling, and they found out that St. Mary's Dreams was actually the cheapest trip anywhere. And that was a number of years ago, but since then the cost has gone up to $2,100.
Yeah.
And we do everything we can to keep the cost as low as possible. But as you know, with travel, with food and everything, it's very, very challenging to keep it so that people can afford to be a part of the Dreams program.
Yeah, you keep the costs low, which means that you're really on a mission trip. Before we started recording, Maddie was telling me about how you were sleeping in a community center and sharing a bathroom and maybe not certainly wasn't the Hilton. So if people want to support this initiative, they can contact St. Mary's Catholic Secondary School in Hamilton, Ontario, or contact the school board directly. And we're going to leave that information on our website, and also I'll leave it as we close. But maybe some final words, Maddie, Martina. What would you say to someone who's in grade 10 right now that is thinking of maybe going next year? Maddie, what would you say?
I would say do it. Like it's honestly a once in a lifetime opportunity. You have 2 years in high school, grade 11 and 12 at St. Mary to go on the trip. And you might not like it sounds really cheesy when you hear about it because every year there's presentations about the program and how life changing and how life altering it is. But until you go and truly experience it, you just don't understand the magnitude of change that comes with
Yeah.
being on the trip. I'd say if you have the funds and you are willing to do it, go on it. You won't regret
Absolutely. And Martina, what would you say?
Yeah, very similar. Just do it. Even if you're thinking about it, go for it and don't go in with any expectations because it's going to be completely different from what you expect, but in a really, really good way.
Well, good. I'm glad you went, and I'm glad that you joined us to tell us about it today. And thank you, Don, for coordinating all of this and for being part of this program.
Thank you for
So,
having us, Deacon Pedro, and we'd love to have Maddie and Martina join us in the years to come as chaperones for Dreams.
yes, that will be great. Anyway, have a blessed rest of the school year.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Okay.
much.
Thank
Take
you.
care. You can support Dreams by contacting St. Mary's Catholic Secondary School in Hamilton directly. I'm going to put that link on our website, or by donating to the Hamilton Wentworth Catholic District School Board. And I'm going to put that link on our website as well. So check it out, slmedia.org. Here now is Sarah Kroger with the title track of her new album, A New Reality.
When life feels mundane, every day looks the same. The world is lost, its shimmer and its shine. When colors turn to gray, abundance. sometimes turns to just okay when you forget the miracle of life. Be a witness to wonder, let it pull you right under the surface of what your eyes can see, and into a new
That was Sarah Kroeger with A New Reality from her new album of the same name. Sarah Kroeger is no stranger to our Salt and Light Hour listeners. She's been on the program many, many times, and she shouldn't be a stranger to anyone who is listening to contemporary Catholic music or attending Catholic events, as she is one of the most popular and sought-out Catholic worship leaders in the English-speaking world. The last time we spoke with Sarah was in December for our Christmas episode, when we featured her new Christmas album, Christmas Lights. And now, Sarah already has a new album, A New Reality, and so I am super happy to welcome Sarah Kroeger back to the program. Sarah,
I'm back!
Well, good, so good. A New Reality. I guess that's the first question. Where did that title come from?
Where did that title come from? That's a good question.
I mean, I know there's a song, like there's a track, but I don't know. I never know if like...
Yeah. Yeah, there is a track. And I mean, when I first started writing this album, I had no idea what it was going to be called. For the longest time, I thought it was going to be called Wonder, because I was walking through just a reawakened, like a season where the way that I was thinking about God and wonder, childlike awe and wonder of God was just reawakened. Mm-hmm. It was, let me set the stage. It was like post-COVID, all of our events, my husband and I do ministry full-time. So all of our events in the span of one day just got wiped out like that. And so I found myself having to find other ways to remain sane. And the way that we did that was by taking walks in our neighborhood and we found ourselves literally over a year walking through the seasons, and it was so impactful. And I'm so grateful actually for that time now, looking back on it, because it was just, it's so, such a simple thing to spend time in nature, right? It's free for anyone to do, but it had such an impact on me, and it reawakened, like I'm saying, it reawakened my knowledge of like God is sustaining and providing life at every moment of every day without us even thinking about it. He is more real and more alive than anything else. But then on the flip side of that coin, I found myself walking through the hardest few years of my faith I've ever had, a real season of wondering. So wonder on one side and wondering on the other. Yeah. And wrestling with questions and doubt, and for the first time having a really hard time finding God in the midst of it and feeling his presence. I had never ever experienced that in my faith. I just, for whatever reason, the gift of faith had always come easy, and in the last couple of years it hasn't. And so walking through that at the same time that I was walking through this like reawakened childlike wonder at the presence of God and all of the things in between, this album kind of is a mix of all those things. And in and of itself, I find myself in a new reality, yeah. you know, of a different kind of faith journey than I've ever been on. But at the same time, like a new reality could also stand for just the our relationship with God. Every yeah. day with Jesus day. Is a new reality, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
So just surrendering to that and recognizing that we're not the ones that make it a new yeah. reality. God is the one that makes it. And
you're
learning
right.
how to trust him in the midst of that, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean, because my wife and I also survived COVID by going through walks around the neighborhood. And I hope that you and your husband are still doing it, because we are.
Do.
Yeah, it's like we're going for a walk and
yeah, leave everything behind, just go.
And you made me think of the seeing everything every day with new eyes. It's like, wow, I never noticed that neighbor had that gate or yeah. whatever, you know. So there's a new reality there as well,
right?
But you didn't say this, but I think that you were kind of implying it, and if you weren't, then I think it's there in your heart. You just maybe needed me to tell you that. You needed to have gone through those daily neighborhood walks because God knew that you were going to go through a little bit of a crisis. And so he was taking you already on this journey that was going to ground you in a
yeah.
way. So
no, seriously.
Could, yeah, right.
Seriously, that resonates so deeply. And it's interesting because I feel like I didn't have that realization until literally last week when I was talking to my husband about it. And I realized, oh my gosh, I needed that season of wonder.
Yeah.
To get me through my wondering, like literally I needed that, and God knew it and continues to, you know, give me peace in the midst of this dark. Mm. I don't even like calling it a season, honestly, because faith is a journey with good days and bad. And sometimes it's a season that you're walking through, but sometimes it's just like, this is just the path. This is just the journey. And mm-hmm. so
yeah,
trying to,
ups and downs.
Yeah, just trying to like
peaks
surrender to that more yeah. than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did the song come first?
Yeah, the song came first. A New Reality was one of the first songs that I wrote for this album when it was still called Wonder in my head.
Okay.
And then I wrote 70 plus songs for this record.
Oh my gosh.
And had to whittle it down to 10.
That's
There's
going to
be an extra 4 coming out in the next couple of months for a deluxe edition, but had to whittle it down. And then I was like, so I wrote A New Reality before I was struggling with my faith. And, and so it just kind of was this full circle moment once we realized, what is this album going to be called? You know, mm-hmm. I'm searching for something with my A&R, my label and my manager and all these people like working on it with me. And I just landed on A New Reality. I was like, that's exactly what this experience has led me to, is that song and that idea. And so, yeah.
Okay. So when you sent me the album art or some of the images.
Yeah.
There's that one image, I don't even know how to describe it, but you're on the beach with the cell phone behind you.
The mirror.
It's a mirror.
It's a mirror.
But I saw that image and I was like, oh, I get it. A new reality. Like it was just kind of like.
Yeah. Well, I had this idea, like it would be really cool to do something Narnia-esque around a new reality.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So we experimented with a mirror on the beach and in all these different locations to kind of take photos in the mirror, and then maybe it would be behind me, and then what would it look like? And so we edited it to make it look like I'm stepping out of another another scene into the scene with the ocean.
And
the whole idea around that is like, for me, beauty is like a portal to the divine. That's what it feels like. When I'm in beauty, I feel like I'm entering through another, like behind the veil, if you will. Like like I said earlier, like it just kind of awakens or opens my eyes to a reality that's alive all around me at all times. I'm just not paying attention to it. You know what I mean? So
I do.
Yeah, beauty has this way of like tapping us on the shoulder and being like, there's more going on here than meets the eye.
Yeah. That's profound. I mean, it's profound. And I know that you're not the first one to say that the beauty is a portal to the divine. I'm sure some saints said that.
I'm sure someone did.
Because it's so profound. So would you say that the rest of the songs?
Yeah.
Like, how did you whittle it down to 10 from 70? Did you find like, these are the songs that kind of show my journey better,
yeah,
or the point to a new reality better?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely songs that are still in my Dropbox that didn't make it on this record that I probably will release at some point, and yeah, some that were just meant for that moment. So we'll see what happens with those songs. But yeah, this collection, I feel like there's corporate worship songs, so songs that are meant to be sung in church.
Okay.
And then there's songs that are more like artistic, like A New Reality, mm-hmm, or the song Human, or like more contemplative and more artistic from a sonic standpoint.
Yes.
And it's kind of both, and because I kind of love both, creating both. And so I was like, why can't both be on an album?
Yeah,
both
of
are
course.
Kind of like prayer and worship, and we don't have to put it into a category. It can just all live on the same project and just be a prayer experience for anyone
Yeah.
who listens to it. So yeah.
Yeah, it is that. Okay, so we're going to end the show with Still Yours, which I think is so far my favorite one. So tell us, set it up for us. Tell us a little bit about it, and
yeah,
so that we can listen to it.
Yeah. This song really, it speaks to my relationship with God, and anyone's relationship with God, really, which is just that. It's a relationship. Like any relationship, you have good days and bad days. You have days where you feel it and days when you don't. And the older I get, the more that I realize that God is a mystery, and there are questions this side of heaven that I will never get answers to. But I have to believe that, like Romans 8 says, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God, even my own intellect and mind, and even my own doubts, that I will always be his and he will always be mine. So that's what this song is about.
Still Yours. So good. Sarah, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, yeah. So if you have 60 songs that didn't make it to this album, so definitely we can tell our listeners that we are guaranteed to have Sarah Kroger back on the show.
Within the next year. No, I'm
yeah,
just kidding.
But yeah. We promise. Who knows? Maybe in the fall. I don't know. But it always a pleasure to have you and to see you, to be with you, to
Same.
Share a little bit with you. And so just keep writing.
Same.
I know,
thanks
I know
so
you
much,
will.
Friend. I
You're
appreciate
very
it.
Welcome. God bless.
You too.
You can learn all about Sarah Kroger and get her music, including her new album, A New Reality, at sarahkroger.com. And it's Kroger with a K, Kroger, sarahkroger.com, and wherever you stream your music. And to listen to this interview again or to hear the rest of the program, go to slmedia.org/podcast. Here now to take us out is that song that Sarah was telling us about, Still Yours, from Sarah Kroger's new album, A New Reality.
Sometimes I wonder where the wonder is gone. Sometimes I wish I felt the joy in my song I once did, way back when. I want to grow up with a faith like a child and learn to fear and run back into the wild. Oh, Father, help me remember. You're still
listening to Sarah Kroger with Still Yours from her new album, A New Reality, and that will take us to the end of the program. Remember that we are considering changing the format of the show, and we want your feedback before we do that. So please write to me, pedro@slmedia.org, or reach out to me on your social media. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you would like changed. We really, really value your feedback. And let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine and peace in Israel and Palestine and in so many places where there is conflict. And let's also pray for high school students trying to figure out what to do with their lives, for those going on mission trips, and in a special way, let's pray for the people in the Dominican Republic who have benefited from the work of students on many mission trips. Let's bring that to prayer while we sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been the Salt and Light Hour.
Change, I'm still yours, yours forever. Loved and adored. now.